Ramble.
It's the Jewish way to feel bad about the things that give you pleasure.
Hey, I'm Catholic, so I feel that. Yeah. We're simpatico.
We should really dive into the difference between Jewish and Catholic guilt. They feel close but different to me.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's like when things are so far apart, they become together again.
Mm-hmm. Catholic, if you eat a cracker, you aren't guilty anymore.
Yeah, that is a thing with Catholic, is it's sort of like just a kind of direct connection with just getting better again by going to the church. They really keep you coming back. It's sort of like Time Warner or something.
Yeah. I think communion is a little bit hair of the dog. You know what I'm saying? A little snack for the belly, a little wine to get you going through the rest of the morning. Whew.
Yeah.
It was crazy last night. We got to atone for these sins, but first, one more sin.
A little bit of bread.
A little bread, a little wine, body, blood, whatever, man. Just give it to me.
Why don't we do a video series one time where you guys take me to church? Because I've never been to church.
Try guys try.
I don't know anything about it.
What's the best denomination candidate competition?
Ranking the religion.
Right. I mean, we're barely trying to go to our own religious services.
No, it should be candidate competition. What's the best denomination of Christianity from a Jewish perspective?
Oh my God. What really sect good. Is best at conversion? And wow. Well, you heard it here first. That's a series that we're going to do. Welcome to the Tripod, another rousing episode. You got Zach on the mic. You got Ned on the mic. You got what Keith up? On the mic. Miles in the big boy chair.
Yay.
Wow.
Today on the show, we're going to be talking about some of our shared and individual guilty pleasures in celebration of a special project we have that we'll tell you about after the break. And then we're probably just going to fuck around. That's usually what we do.
That's true.
To say that this show is planned is really just putting a lot on Miles.
Well, I mean, it's on the calendar.
Yeah, it's on the calendar, so in that way I plan. I usually prepare a Google Doc. Yeah, the Google Doc is short for sure that I have planned.
Oh, I would love to see that. Oh, it's pretty short.
You don't want to see. It's not for everyone's. It's
real. Do you use the same doc every week and just sort of erase it and then rewrite new things? So it's not even like you can't look back at your notes. You can like, it's just like a sort of like a notes app. I just sort of delete what I don't need.
Right. I create a new Google Doc every week, but it's like I shouldn't be. It's not enough to support a full document.
Miles's notes for this episode are perhaps bath talk ?
It's so funny because later we're going to be talking about some of our guilty pleasures, but the first thing I thought of this morning was egg related. I was like, no, Keith, no, you can't come out the gate with more egg talk. You just can't.
You can't. It's too much.
All of my guilty pleasures are all shower and bath related. And I said, no, Ned, no. No, the people don't need more bath talk.
Well, dear listeners, brace yourselves for another perfect episode right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I like how some other podcasts are like, we are brought to you by... I was listening to Dax Shepard's podcast, and he's like, yeah, like, turns on a Price is Right voice for his ad reads, right, which makes it kind of ironic.
Yeah, I consider myself the budget Monica Padman, so...
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Monica Padman is Dax Shepard's co-host. Anyway, we're getting into... Well, speaking of guilty pleasures... Speaking of guilty pleasures, Zach, we have a very exciting announcement coming up next Monday.
Hell yeah. So today we're going to be talking about some of our shared guilty pleasures because I have a new podcast coming out starting this Monday called Guilty Pleasures. It is a comedy pop culture podcast where me and my co-hosts Kelsey Dara and Garrick Bernard are going to be sharing some of our favorite movies and TV shows. Those things that you know you're not supposed to love, but that won't stop you from loving them anyway. It's a really fun show. We've just been having a blast talking about our favorite movies and shows. We're going to be inviting our funniest friends along to share theirs as well. It's just a fun little corner for us to geek out about pop culture.
Wow, you asked me to be on an episode. I didn't realize I was one of your funniest friends. I am honored. Oh, my goodness. I thought it was just
top tier, my dude.
Wow, wow. So, listeners, I did a 50 Shades of Grey episode. You'll just have to stay tuned.
Yeah, we got all of our buddies on. And it's fun. We're launching with a Twilight episode because it is probably the quintessential guilty pleasure of the last 20 years. We have Bridgerton coming up, so we're going between classics and modern classics, instant classics.
I mean, it's super funny. I did an episode. I've listened to a couple. It's hilarious. Kelsey and Garrick are so funny. I did not know that they were such good friends of yours, Zach. It's like a very seamless dynamic. You have friends other than us. I'm shocked, but
yeah, I basically chose. So both of Kelsey and Garrick are insanely funny people, and also incredible writers, very knowledgeable and passionate about movies. So I basically I tried to make a show where I knew I would be the weakest link. I have succeeded. They are so much funnier than me, and I really think you guys are going to love it. Stay tuned after this. We're going to have a trailer for you guys to listen to, and then please go to our Guilty Pleasure show. Go give us some love for our premiere on Monday. But in celebration of that show, we want to talk about some of our non-pop culture guilty pleasures. What are the things that we love, even though it might be a little bad?
Yeah, and if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. What's your guilty pleasure? What do you love, even though it's a little bad?
We were texting about this, and I'm like, I don't have... Oh, actually, I exclusively have. I think everything I do. But what about you guys?
I love to eat huge portions of beef. You know, I don't get too much anymore, but God damn it, if I'm at a restaurant and there's a steak and there's the same steak, but it's more ounces, guess which one I buy? The one with more ounces. The bigger, the better. The bigger, the fucking better, baby. Just 26, 32, let's go for it. I'll finish it too. Damned if I won't. I will finish it and not poop for 3 days, and it's going to be awesome.
You know, you're also the guy that, like, you'll get the 32-ounce steak and then go, oh, but I also really want the pork chop. You guys want a table chop?
Yeah! That's the best. You know, I'm very into the table meat. Meat for the table. Sometimes you do the steak for the table because it's like a $95 steak. And you're like, I'm going to pay for the steak for everybody, but I feel bad if I'm the only one eating the $95 steak. It's rude.
I love when we went to Florence, there were these like giant, that was just like the thing, was like Florentine steaks where they were huge and they were butterflied apart, and it was almost always a two-person meal. Like it was just like always served for two people, just decadent. I love when you can like find someone at the table and be like, hey, you want to go in on this like $120 steak together?
Ned and I have done that many times the pre-COVID era. We did it. We did it right before too. It was like sometime last winter. We went to, I don't know, some restaurant in WeHo, and you and I got this enormous steak and split it, and it was marvelous. It was. Yeah.
You're probably the two biggest food enablers in my life, I would say.
Yeah.
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 You couldn't even say, Keith, it was marvelous.
Ooh, it was a ribeye, well marbled. Yeah, I love food. Food is definitely a guilty pleasure.
What about sweets? Do you like kind of cheesecake, ice cream, kind of like cookies?
Becky's guilty pleasure is candy and ice cream. She loves sour candy, sweet ice cream. That's what she wants. But I'm like, I'll eat that. It's fine. But if you said, Keith, for dessert, would you like a bowl of ice cream or a pork chop?
pork chop for dessert. Yeah. I'm an ice cream boy for sure. I love me some ice cream. We have a monthly subscription, just kind of keep it in the fridge at all times.
I'm sorry. Wait, time out.
You get an ice cream and once a month. Is it different flavors? Flavor of the month?
Yeah. Flavor of the month type of thing. Actually, it's 4 flavors of the month. 4 pints.
Oh my God.
4 pints a month.
You go through 1 pint a week?
Sometimes they'll send you a orange blossom creamsicle one where it's like, this is good, but I really have to be in the mood for it. I'm always all about that chocolate vanilla life, just like the fudge swirl type of caramel chunk type of moose tracks.
There was a period of the quarantine where I was eating ice cream every single day, and I think I tried to curb that behavior because I was, feeling a little puffy.
We have a vegan ice cream that we adore. It's from Jenny's. It's called Texas Sheet Cake. It is just so goddamn good, and it has reignited my passion for ice cream after years of ice cream celibacy. But I've told Maggie to help me curb my ice cream intake because, look, with my inflammation and all that, I don't feel good when I eat a lot of sugar. It's not good for my body. So I will literally, while she is spaced out, watching a show, I will sneak to the kitchen. And we have an open, our kitchen is connected to our living room, but I will stand there and eat it to see if she notices.
What?
And it is literally, it is a literal guilty pleasure where I am enjoying it and feeling bad and hoping I don't get caught in the moment. I've instructed her to yell at me when she catches me.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
kinky. That's a little kinky there.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yell at me.
It's very guilty. That's,
ooh, don't let me eat this ice cream. Don't let me eat it.
I'll do a midday ice cream bite for sure, and that makes me feel a little naughty. If I'm just like, I'm feeling a little sad today, and I go and get a big bite of the cream with just a spoon in the carton and put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
And boy, howdy.
Eating directly from the carton is a real guilty pleasure because you're just not supposed to do that.
Sticky. Yeah.
No way of knowing how much you're eating. There's no portion control when you're going straight from the carton, baby.
That's right. That's true. Yeah.
Well, I'll ramp this up. When you're living with OCD, I'd say just about everything is a guilty pleasure. Aside from that, I don't know if you guys know this. I'm a little bit of a relentless nose picker. It's one of my true pleasures that I know is bad. I don't want to be caught. I don't want to be seen doing it, but I will never stop. I accepted that, I think, in my late 20s, just seeing you know what? This is never going away. I love picking my nose. And you know what? I'm not afraid to share it.
That's nice.
I'm right there with you, Zach. I'm right there with you. I got a big honker and you got to get in there. I mean,
sometimes it's stuck. Sometimes it's stuck along the wall and blowing just won't do. And you got to get up in there and you got to hook it out.
I wish they made specific tweezers that weren't too sharp, that were specifically for nose, my finger is okay, but you know what would be really good is some specialty products so I can just scoop up in there or maybe pull out,
Ow.
Like a rubber spatula for your nose.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like normal tweezers, you're going to cut your nostrils all up and it's bad news.
Right. Yeah.
But imagine if they had little tiny hands on the end. So they just they clump the booger and then you pull it out. And maybe you pull a hair with you, but that kind of cleans out your sinuses and you feel a little bad, but also a little bit good.
Yeah. Do you guys blow your nose in the shower?
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
I'm definitely, if you have a head cold, my goodness, the shower is the place to turn that water super fucking hot, put it straight on your face, and just let it all pour out, baby.
I love that.
I don't really do it in the shower, but I definitely do it on the soccer field. Like, if you need to blow your nose on the soccer field, there is no option. So you gotta snot rocket when the ball goes out of bounds for a second, and then slobber it up your forearm. And then, like, get back at it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't use your hands anyway, so it's, you know, it's pretty safe to use your hands as Kleenex in that moment, because you're not using your hands in soccer, unless you're a goalie.
You know, honestly, you're going to sweat immediately, so it's all going to be goobery anyways. If you're, like, bumping up against other people, it's like, it's just goober city. It's really tough to talk about now, like, in a pandemic, imagining that level of goober transfer, but it's just part of the game. It's like, I had a coach one time when I was like asking to blow my nose, he's like, quit being a bitch, just snot rocking and get back out there. He didn't call me a bitch, but his point was, you're not allowed to come out of the game right now because you're so good at soccer.
Get back out there, Fulmer. Score us a couple runs.
Is that a recurring dream you have? It's just that a coach is telling you that you're too good to take out of the game.
You're too good to get taken out.
Ned's like, my wife, she's going into labor. Not now, Fulmer. You're our ace. We need you out there. You score the winning goal, then you can go.
There's 2 minutes left, Fulmer.
They scored as soon as we took you out. Fuck.
He's a wild card, but he's the best we got.
Since I play defense, that's like the equivalent of feeling like you're good. Is like you come out of the game and they like immediately score, and you're like, God damn it!
It's because of me.
Need to be in there!
I'm imagining like a buddy cop soccer match where it's like, you're out of line, Fulmer. Hand in your shin guard.
My two shin guards and a gun.
Yeah. He's like, what did you have a gun for?
You've snot rocketed on this field for the last time.
I've got a guilty pleasure that is a little of like a video game one that, let me set the scene for you. Because we all love video games. Oftentimes they're not guilty at all. You know, late night, kids have both gone to bed. Like, you got yourself some video game time. Not guilty, right? Maybe if you stay up till 12 or 1 or 2, which I've definitely never always done, that's kind of guilty. But let me talk to you about the Nintendo Switch handheld guilt, where you're watching the 3-month-old and the 3-year-old is in the bath with his mom. You know, his mom's doing bath time. They're not bathing together. But if they were, that wouldn't be weird either.
It's a baby.
We accept that.
Well, 3-year-old. I mean, it's getting... Anyways. So, you like, things are calm. Baby's napping. You're good. But you know you only have, like, 10 minutes. And it's like, what are you doing, man? You're going to play Switch for 10 minutes? But your buddies from New York are being like, hey, it's nighttime for me. You want to play a couple quick games of Smash? And you're like, if I play on the TV, that'll be a big issue. But if I just play on the handheld Switch for 10 minutes, no one will ever know. Yeah. No one will ever feel like it's weird. And that's a guilty pleasure that I have. And also did that's last nice. Night.
That's very good. How'd you do, Ned?
You know, the handheld definitely causes you to make a couple mistakes that you wouldn't otherwise make. It's a tiny screen and not great controls, but a poor craftsman blames his tools. I still got a couple of W's for sure. Definitely also accidentally fast-falled off the map when I was trying to catch the ledge. But, you know, I'm not gonna blame it. I'm not gonna hang my hat on that. I'm gonna focus on the positives. But yeah, after Wes went to bed and it was truly the nighttime, then switched back to the GameCube controller. Way better.
You know, it's
this is like a nightly.
Oh, I was gonna say it's not quite video game guilty pleasure, but I spoke a couple weeks back about how I've been watching the Pokemon cards on the TikTok, right?
Oh, they're so good.
Well, yeah. I've let it get the better of me.
Whoa. No, Keith.
I've I've let it get the better.
Oh my god.
Dude, you bought do some, how many packs?
Do some content. Wait, can we open right one here. On camera?
I was thinking maybe we should open one on camera.
That would be a guilty pleasure for me,
you know,
for
what?
Sure.
Really good. And here's the fun thing.
I'm a Magic the Gathering boy. I'm not too into the Pokemon game, but the mechanic is the same. Just cracking some packs, that cardboard crack, the new smell, and the shiny shinies, and just you never know what you're going to get.
And let me tell you, some of the ultra rares are cool
really?
Cool now.
What's a planeswalker but for Pokemon?
Let me show you one.
I thought you'd never ask, my boy.
Let me show you one. This is a planeswalker equivalent. They're like GX cards. They're fucking dope as shit.
Yo.
They're so
I don't even you sleeve
dope.
That bitch up.
I don't even know how to explain what's on what I'm looking at right now. Hold it up again, Keith. It's like a crazy, almost triple holographic.
A normal card, and this has a little holographic. They do reverse holographic.
You have to explain it, Keith. This is a podcast.
This is a normal Pokemon card. It has a picture on the top, and on the bottom it has text that tells you what it does. Now, this is a slightly rare because the text is holographic, which means it's got some sort of metal foil in it.
So just the text.
Just the text, and that's called a reverse holo or a reverse foil.
Rated as like level one rare.
Yeah, it's sort of like level one rare or level two. It's so in between because you can also have the picture be holographic and the text not be. But this, this is like full art holo graphic and ultra rare. So basically, the whole thing is holographic. The text is almost impossible to read. it's also in a piece of plastic, which is making it more reflective. But they're really beautiful cards and. I genuinely appreciate the art.
So how much is that little GX worth?
This one's like a $10-ish card. I did pull one that was like a $25 or $30 card. This is like a $2 to $3 card, right? Like the normal rares. And these are the value, but I'm sure they sell for far less.
I want to add, lest anyone thinks that we're just jumping on a trend here. Last summer, Keith, when we were on tour, Keith and I bought a couple packs. Well, Keith had been buying packs in each town that we went to, but we each bought a pack and then kept it in our pocket. And then anytime a fan would recognize us, we'd be like, hey, you want a Pokemon card? And it was just like, we would still take a picture, but we would just hand out one individual Pokemon card. Like, I think it was in Portland or wherever we were. So some people out there, listeners, you have a special limited edition Keith Habersberger Pokemon card.
And a Zach Kornfeld Pokemon card out there. A
couple of them out there.
Okay, so we're going to open a pack right now, and we'll do our best to describe it for the audio listeners. But hopefully we pull something good, because whenever we pull something good, everybody freaks out. It's always fun. It's all about the reactions. It's basically like playing scratch-off lottery ticket, right? It's basically what it is. So we got a Sun and Moon Crimson Invasion. We got a Sun and Moon Burning Shadows.
These are the pack types?
Yeah, these are pack types.
Oh, so, yeah.
Sun and Moon Crimson Invasion, Sun and Moon Burning Shadows, Sword and Shield Rebel Clash, and just a normal Sword and Shield. Which would you guys, what tickles the fancy?
Yeah, I was pretty intrigued by the Crimson.
The Crimson Invasion or the Burning Shadows?
No, not Burning Shadow. Fuck that
noise. The first
one
was Crimson Invasion, right?
Yeah. Everybody who's listening is thinking, hey, maybe I want to get into Pokemon cards too. There's a whole way you open them as well. So I got to open it up.
How do you open it?
I didn't know this.
Yeah, well, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's like a whole subculture on Twitch too of people like opening cards.
Have I been opening them wrong my entire life?
So you take the cards out, and then right here is like the code card. It tells you basically there's an online version of the game, and when you buy a pack, there's a code on the pack. You enter it online, and it gives you digital cards of the cards you bought, so you can play online.
Cool. That's
very
nice.
Cool. So you take the cards and you don't look at them, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you leave them like that, and then you put it on the bottom so that when you start, it starts with the energy, which is the least exciting. So it's just like your mana if you play Magic the Gathering. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go one card at a time, and the last card is the one that has the chance to be ultra rare. The second to last is your standard rare. So you go like this, and now we got ourselves a trainer card, which is kind of like an artifact or an instant kind
of. Lusamine is who we got.
Yeah. I've never heard of her. This is like generation 8 Pokemon. I don't know this at
all. Yeah, it's kind of a black and yellow card.
Kakuna. We know that boy. We know that boy.
He's an OG.
A little bug.
Excelgore. I don't know who that is.
It's like a...
Yeah. I can't even...
It's like an owl bird, man.
This is cute.
Jangmo.
Oh, he's so cute. Okay, I want that one. That one's mine.
All right, that one's yours. It kind of looks like a scorpion dog.
Yeah, it's
cool. So cute.
Phoebus.
Ugly ass fish. So, it's like the ugly ass fish Pokemon.
Stuffle. Oh, big fan.
Stuffle looks like a Tanuki from Mario, but pink and cuter with these little, almost like Tanuki Mario and Kirby had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And then we ooh, it's cool.
Mischievous. We stand.
Is there something different with the art purple there?
No, it's just dark
still.
It's just dark. Okay. It's just a dark.
Yeah, it
dark
looks like a spider woman.
Jimicho.
Fucking weird looking.
Yeah.
Jimicho looks sad.
Like there's a Mr. So Game and Watch that got real sad.
Keith, can I ask before, let's pause here. So you're as a trainer collector, are your fingerprints sullying the quality, the value of these? Should you be wearing gloves?
Well, these are garbage carts, no matter what.
Okay.
Probably your first 8 are garbage. I mean, and they might be like good for play, but they're not going to have much value. Now that there's
exceptions. Even in like, the $400,000, like, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not going to touch the last card at my fingertips. It's going to be revealed, you see. And how I'm holding
these. In the original packs, it's still like you really only care about the last card. The rest of them don't have value. Or do you ever get like a cool one mixed in between?
So, yes, there are error packs, which is when the whatever happened on the assembly line fucked up and there's more rares in the pack than you would expect. But either way, if I'm opening them like this, my fingerprint's only touching the one that I know I've already decided is garbage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. So now this is the standard rare that comes in the pack.
Oh.
Salandus.
It looks like a dinosaur.
Okay. Now here it is.
Oh, here it is. So this is it. This is it. This is the big one.
And if it's good, it's going to be great. Let's see. And it's nothing.
Wigglytuff. It's Wigglytuff. Nothing.
Well, it's just not. It's not a. It's not a mega. It's not a VMAX. It's not. It's not a big boy. But it's just a Pokemon.
Thanks for playing, everybody. Yeah.
For me, I actually get very excited anytime it's like an original Pokemon because, like, for me, it's all about the nostalgia, and it's super fun. And I am going to be building decks and playing the game. I'm going to teach Becky, and maybe even we'll teach Ned. It's basically Magic Light. It's very easy. That's awesome. Easy magic.
I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah. I'm a little hooked, and I would like you to open another pack. I know you have big plans for those, but that was exhilarating. I don't know that it's good for the podcast.
Who knows?
Just saying that I already am like, yeah, give me more. I need another hit.
I know, right?
I kind of love it, except I wish it were a Magic the Gathering pack.
Right, I get that. I get that. But I like it because it's very cartoonish. Everything looks cute. Yeah. And yes, it's very, especially when you have a pack that you didn't get nothing in. You're like, well, I got another pack line right here. Maybe I should open that bad boy.
That's really cool. When you get a good one, it makes you want to open another one.
We'll do a speed open. We'll do a speed open at the end of this episode. Right.
We'll do a speed open.
Rapid through. Just get to that last card.
Right. And getting back to guilty pleasures, we have a list of guilty pleasures from a website. I never talked about my guilty pleasure, which, as I've mentioned on the podcast, is taking a tub with looking at the iPad, watching TV, although it's plugged in, and hoping that the iPad doesn't fall into the tub and electrocute me.
The danger now, there, I think, is part of what titillates you.
Yeah, it gets me off, and I like that element of it, but it is scary, because I don't want my TV iPad situation to end me. Now,
but what a way to go.
What a way to go. He died how he lived. Now, this is from fairygodboss.com. 21 guilty pleasures we refuse to stop indulging in. Now, I thought we'd go through some of these and just sort of rank them and enjoy them and, you know, enjoy our lives because this is our life and we only have one and it's wine time. You know what I mean?
Literally. So, that's why I'm wearing slippers, you know? You just got one life. You got to live it.
You got to live it. All right, the first one, dancing like no one's watching.
I don't know that that's a guilty pleasure. I think that's a healthy indulgence.
That's therapy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel good.
Do you ever dance alone?
Yeah, I'm about to say, is it dance like no one's watching or dance because no one's watching?
That's true. Very different. One is alone in your apartment. Yeah. One is like you go to a club and you don't give a shit. You're just going to let your freak flag fly.
I interpreted it as alone in the apartment because going to a club, first of all, rare. Mm-hmm. Second of all, that is just how I dance.
Third of all, when Ned's dancing, you know people are watching.
That's true.
Yeah. And the description here is, call it risky business, if you will, but there's nothing like cranking up the volume on a good Kelly Clarkson song and getting your groove on.
Okay, so that's alone at home. Yeah, I think that's great. I'm all for it, especially in quarantine times. Sometimes you just gotta dance.
I don't know that it's a guilty pleasure.
Becky's been listening to Bruce Springsteen a lot lately.
And surprising.
I know. She's been grooving to him. And she, even this morning, it was a Bruce Springsteen song that I'm unfamiliar with. And she's like, oh, it's about to be. He's about to drop. The beat's about to drop. And when it dropped, it was, you know, Bruce Springsteen. It was just very mellow and, you know, groovy. But she was like, yeah. And she was dancing and, you know, making juice. And I do love it because I like Bruce Springsteen. It's a fun thing to have playing in your house on a Wednesday morning.
Her and Adam Kornfeld can jam out together.
Yeah. I do love Dancing in the Dark. Dancing in the Dark. Because I don't know if that's the name of the song, but it's a great song. Oh, get up in the morning and I ain't got nothing to say. I love it.
Number two, creeping on Facebook or Instagram.
Oh yeah, you gotta creep every so often.
Maybe you found yourself scrolling through your ex's new partner's page, or you click through one page and another till you end up on someone's Instagram account. Either way, you're not alone. A lot of us are right there with you. This is, I would say, a guilty pleasure, but it's a bad one.
I think that falls more into the guilty camp. I don't think you should feel good about it. It ain't healthy. Mm-hmm. You got to stop it. Brian's moved on, and you know what? It's time that you do too, Cheryl. Yeah.
But sometimes you're a vigilante, right? Like I was creeping on Facebook in the summer, and I was going around and basically trolling people who were posting misinformation and saying, fuck you, this is wrong, here's why it's wrong. So like people who were like saying that COVID wasn't real, I was like, fuck you, here's a bunch of proof that it is real. People who were like anti-vaxxers, like, fuck you, go to fucking hell. And I would dig through Facebook, through my Tennessee friends or acquaintances, I should probably rather say, and I would just refute them on their page until they blocked me. So
that's not lurking, though. That's like vigilante justice in Facebook form.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. That's really.
But they end up blocking me, so I don't know how much good it was, but it's fine.
Definitely those platforms will sometimes surface like someone I knew from college or someone I knew from high school even, and I'm like, huh, I haven't thought about that name in a long time. Wonder where they live. You click on their profile like, oh. They're doing this thing. But like some
Where
people
are
very different.
What country are you from?
What country are you from?
What country are you from? People like, some people are like, oh, they have a baby. Or like, oh, wow, they live in like Africa or, you know, some shit.
Yeah. I do have a friend who like, people, he lives in Australia now. And I was like, hey, when did you move to Australia?
Yeah.
That's cool. Sleeping in is the next one.
Oh, yeah.
That's guttural. Wait, you sleep in a lot?
Oh, I try to. I try to get at least 3 snooze taps if I can.
Oh,
and then sometimes I go hard. I turn off the alarm, just go back to sleep, see how long we go. See how long?
It's crazy how time changes things. Because like in college, regularly would sleep till 1 in the afternoon. I'm talking like college. It was more rare that I woke up earlier than that. Now, if I sleep till 9:30 on a Saturday, I kind of wake up in a panic. I'm scared. Yeah, I'm like, oh God, what happened? Oh no, oh, the sun's been up. It freaks me out.
Sleeping in has become relative, because when I say like I'm sleeping in, I mean I'm like I'm getting to 8:30, which I think most young people would not say is sleeping in. But since I try to wake up at 7,
it's early.
It's pretty early. But I would like wake up like, ooh, slept all the way to 8:30 this morning.
Like classes that started at 8:30, it was like, oh no, you have to take one of those. Oh no,
hell.
Yeah.
A little different for me, but you guys know that.
We know.
I would say when I can sleep in. Oh, do I ever. If me and Ariel ever like on a naughty weekend in Vegas and the kids with the in-laws, oh my God, we're sleeping till like 10.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like you got to compress all your adult shit into you know, 48 hours if you have 48 hours without your kids there.
Yeah.
I get that.
Naughty weekend.
I'm not saying we're going to strip clubs or whatever.
Are you and Ariel cruising the strip, like throwing dollar bills around?
But, you know, like all the things that you don't normally do when you have kids, like stay out past 11.
Yeah.
Did I say stay out? I meant stay up past 11.
Ned and Ariel's naughty weekend is like early 20s tame weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would kill for an early 20s tame weekend right now.
Woo! Oh, that'd be fun. I actually have kind of started to like waking up early. I mean, I do like sleeping in or whatever, but like I kind of have this, you know, routine of things that I do to like get myself like awake like immediately, you know, just like a blast lights in my face. It helps you wake up faster. Or if the sun is up, I'll go look at the sunrise and like let my eyes
stare at the sun.
Stare right at the sun.
Well, the sunrise, Keith. I see. The sun if it's up.
But, love that some of the like the hacks to like waking up fast are basically enduring some kind of pain. So Eve, you want to wake up fast, take an ice cold shower. Have you taken an ice cold shower? That shit is uncomfortable. It is awful. But it does wake you up because it makes you panic.
Yeah, your body's going into fight or flight.
Yeah, I think it's like your body naturally does that though. Your body like it starts producing cortisol when you wake up, and it that's something that helps you get out of bed. If you don't have it, you would just like want to stay in bed all day. Obviously, too much is bad, but that's part of it. Is like when your sleep, your melatonin and stuff is dripping off. Your like cortisol is spiking, and that's kind of what wakes you up and gets you on in the day. And this is a process to help that happen, happen when it's supposed to happen.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning, you gently get out of bed and just have a jackhammer right outside your window. No shock to the system.
But if you snooze, you often, at least I do, feel more tired than if you just wake up and like start going.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes that's true. I have become blessed with my dog-like cat who literally when my alarm goes off, my cat wakes up and comes over to my face and starts to lick my face like a dog, being like, it's time to wake up. And it's so bizarre that
it's because he wants food.
It is. But he's patient until I'm supposed to wake up. He's like, I won't do it before the alarm. He'll wait until the alarm.
That's nice.
And if I don't set the alarm, he won't do it.
My sister's cat has decided that her breakfast is 5:30 in the morning, and if she is not fed, she starts breaking stuff in the apartment. You'll hear a meow, and if neither of them wake up, then she goes to the living room and starts swatting stuff off the counters. So one of them, you would think like they've had this cat for 2 years. There's no system. It's just whoever wakes up runs to catch whatever's breaking, and they've accepted this as part of their life. The adorable tyranny of cats.
Just horrible. Leave some food out overnight.
Yeah.
Let the cat graze at night.
Well, then they had one of those like time release things, but then you wake up to the sound of, but they live in an apartment in Manhattan. It's small. So you wake up to, it's worse.
Yeah, that's
it. Does it grind the meat straight into cat food or something?
Yeah, it's a dead animal. It's just processing.
It's a rabbit.
What are the guilty pleasures you got, Miles? Keep us rolling. Lightning rounds.
Let's go. Reading novels for pleasure.
No.
It's not guilty. That's good for you.
That's pretty good for you. I feel like that's not a guilty pleasure. It's nice.
Yeah, there are some novels. Like, you're talking like Dan Brown novels. Like, you're by a pool on a beach and it's a little trashy. Or you're like, even the Hunger Games, Twilight. It's
still good, though, for you. Well,
reading Lolita is good for you. Like, reading, like, reading anything, I guess, is good, but like there is a guilty pleasure novel where it's like this is not good writing. This is very limited vocabulary. It's kind of like very pulpy, poppy stories that are just like page turners. You can't wait to keep reading them, but like not really great character development.
It was the experience of reading Ready Player One, where I every day needed to tell whoever was around me how absurdly trashy and stupid, but undeniably engrossing it was. And I hated
absolutely.
It. Hate myself for every second that I loved it, you know?
It's that, so that clearly like written to be a bad movie already, and yet you cannot put it down. You're so engrossed in it. All of the references are like endorphin rushes because you're like, oh, that's something I recognize.
Yeah, there's an ad for Minecraft in the Ready Player One movie. I don't know if you guys caught that, but it's so absurd. Anyway, moving on. Eating dessert before dinner or whenever. Blame it on the inspirational Dove chocolate wrapper or the jokes on a popsicle stick, but we all love dabbling in a good dessert.
Not for me.
I don't like that. I'm all about like afternoon little chocolate, little candy as a snack or something, but you telling me I'm going to eat a bowl of ice cream at like 6 p.m. right before I'm about to have a normal dinner? Gross. Yeah, no, I don't think I would like that.
Now, a summer afternoon popsicle.
Yeah.
Oh, mayhaps. Yeah. Yeah. 3 p.m. 3 p.m. anyone's game.
Yeah.
But like, I'm imagining you like go straight. It's like a first course. Like you're eating your ice cream and then you move it and then you bring in like a pork chop, spinach and rice or something. And like, no, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
that would confuse your mouth so much. I don't know why you can do it the other way around and it seems totally fine, but.
All right. The next one is, let me just pop off a couple of these. Ordering takeout when you simply don't feel like cooking. You're laid up on the couch beneath your heated blanket, so you can't possibly be bothered by making your own food.
Heated blanket. You added to the layers
That's
to the
nice.
Story.
I know.
You guys ever done a post-pizza dinner purchase? Like, or I'm sorry, a post-dinner pizza purchase. I said it the wrong way. A post-dinner
pizza
purchase.
I was thinking that you
purchase.
Had your big pizza, and you're like, you know what I need right now is some
dinner.
Well, just like, you eat pizza, and then you're compelled to buy a back massager.
I wish. No, it's just that sometimes...
Where you order a pizza after dinner?
Yeah, Becky and I will have, like, an early dinner.
That's bold.
8:30 will roll around. So there's a pizza commercial on TV.
Oh,
or somebody's eating pizza in a TV show and you're like, you know what?
Hell yeah.
Let's get a pizza. And then you get a pizza.
Is that weed related?
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Weed is part of the decision-making process in that moment.
If there's not a Try Guys 420 special.
It's especially if like you had an underwhelming dinner. You know, you put something together, you thought it was going to be good, you tried a new recipe, it turns out it was bland, you kind of ate through it and dealt with it, you feel unsatisfied.
Or if you just didn't quite eat enough, like, I'm such a hungry boy. Here we are, we're recording this, it's 10 a.m., I ate breakfast at, say, 7:30, and I had 2 eggs and a full giant piece of toast. I'm hungry. I'm like, I'm dying over here, I might need to go get a snack. If that happens to me and I eat an underwhelming dinner at 6 and the 8:30 rolls around, what do? It's getting too late to eat. I don't have the patience to wait for a pizza to come to me. That's how hungry I get. The best is if there's cold pizza in the fridge, just heat up another slice.
Yeah, that is good.
So I guess, yes, I do that.
It's a good one.
Falling asleep in a movie theater.
How dare you? That is criminal to me. I cannot imagine falling asleep in the movie theater. That is my church. That is my religious experience. Cannot imagine
Guilty.
Anything further.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Guilty.
Oh, my God.
But here, it's specifically you go to those recliner theaters and you watch 50 Shades. You can't help but fall asleep.
Because you're going
you
to
take
fucked
that
up, right?
Back. As this is post Outback Steakhouse, post 3 giant beers, probably some weed is mixed into there. You go in, you go your legs are coming up, your back is going back. You got 30 feet between you and the next person for some reason in those theaters, which will probably be popular coming soon. And you just can't help it. You fall asleep. What can you do?
Yeah, I guess I can. Now that you've painted the picture, I can see that. I would say, in general, naps on couches are pretty guilty pleasures. I usually don't do it in movies.
Oh, one
but
of
yeah,
these?
If it's something that I don't really, I'm not really into, but I'm still just kind of there, maybe I'll close my eyes for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But usually yeah. not right. movies. Movies, I'm like pretty, like I choose to watch it and because I want to watch it.
Deeply offended at the suggestion. You know what I do love is that like mid-conscious state of being where you are exhausted, you're probably fucked up, you don't care about the movie, you're falling asleep, but you still hear it. So I've been in that position, or I've been next to people who are like falling, their eyes are closed, they're falling asleep, but then they go still giggling while they're asleep.
It's funny.
Oh man, that for whatever reason that reminded me of let me know if this has ever happened to you. You're going on a road trip as a kid with your parents, and you leave butt crack early in the morning. My parents always would leave at like 4 a.m. so we could get to the place by the afternoon so we could enjoy our time there more. But part of the drive, you know, in those early hours, those twilight hours you're sleeping, your dad or your mom wants to listen to some sort of like audiobook to keep their brain entertained. And you're listening to an audiobook of Star Trek and you're sleeping and your crazy dreams are all basically the audiobook is your dreams. And it's this weird, like, you're aware that you're in your car, you're aware that you're asleep, and you're aware of the book, and your dream is being brought to life by the book. And it's this very weird, you're in between all those states, and it's lovely.
It's not worth explaining the one that I'm thinking of, but I'm curious, do we all have memories of dreams where we're like, oh, that dream was so dope, like that stayed with you? Yeah.
Yes.
I have one in high school that I'm thinking about where I'm like, fuck, that dream was awesome. I wish I could just go back into it.
Yeah. Mine's called Ultimate Water Slide.
It was
fucking this ultimate water slide, and the water slide went through a hotel, and it was the most amazing water slide. Could never exist. It was an impossibly unrealistic water slide. Greatest water slide of my life.
Yeah.
Greatest water slide of my life.
I wish. That's
cool.
I wish. I'd love to get there.
Well, boys, there's a couple more here that we got to get through. Buying flowers.
We have to get through. We can't not get through them.
Contractually, yeah, we made Fairy Godboss paid us about 100 G's, so we gotta.
Wow.
Buying flowers.
I wish
for
that
yourself.
Were true. That's not true.
That'd be cool.
Buying flowers for yourself.
Yeah, and whining and complaining is also on here.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah,
I love.
I don't like complaining. I'm against it as a rule, unless it's like gossip.
Give me some gossip about The Office, Miles.
Sam and Will are feuding on Twitter. That's a
yeah, I love that.
That's a fun thing. I think we have a pretty. There's not a ton of office gossip because one, we're all working from home, so like the office gossip is like between me and Sarah more so than like anybody in the office.
I imagine most of the gossip is about us and how we have let the current office fall to complete shambles because we're all mentally at the next office already, and we've been there for a year, even though the office is not done yet.
Yeah, probably a lot of complaints behind our back about rats.
Yeah.
The champagne problem I've been living with is I've mentally been like, well, I'm only going to be filming at home for another week or two, but that's existed for 300 something days, and it never seems to be going away. And I don't have the biggest apartment, you know, I don't own a home, and so every time we film a video, our production team will bring stuff to us. Like, we just did a soap video, and so I have this giant box of soap making materials, and I don't know where the fuck. It's just like the corner of my office now. I mean, look, I'll just show you on the YouTube. Oh, it's all connected to stuff. You can kind of catch a glimpse of it. I got a
you
box corner
a
over here.
I get
it's
it.
It's just
yeah.
like it sucks, and I don't know what I don't know what to do, and I don't have the brain space to do anything about it.
Here's what you do: you stack it outside your apartment door. If somebody steals it, that's fine. But otherwise, you text Sam and say, hey, can you please come pick up the soap? And whenever he gets there, that's cool.
I got an HOA, Ned. I left my sneakers outside my apartment once, and I got
an
nasty
HOA
letter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got an HOA.
You're fucked.
Guy,
just redouble your efforts on the house search. Can we talk about that? Are you okay talking about it? Like, Zach has put in offers on 6 houses. Six passes? Now, right? Oh, yeah. Miles is wiggling his fingers. So we'll continue the Zach House discussion over on Patreon. You can become a patron at patreon.com/tryguys.
Not only will we talk about Zach's house for like at least five more minutes, we're going to open one more pack of Pokemon cards.
Hell yeah, that's right. Go over to patreon.com.
We can't do it on this. You got to join the Patreon to find out if I get rich on cardboard.
Now it's time for some advice. All right,
well, you do Miles' this theme song. I'm going to go pee.
Okay. Miles Bonzo.
It's advice that'll go for Miles. Tune it to your radio.
Can you hear it?
No. But I also have to pee, but out of respect, I'm going to stay.
Hey, I appreciate it. Is everyone going to pee?
Everyone
I guess the theme song's long.
It's long. It's a good pee break. I've had the audience even sometimes goes to pee.
I get that.
Even though they could just go pee anytime.
Yeah. What's up, Miles Nation? Everyone except for Keith went to go use the bathroom during the fucking theme song. This podcast is in shambles.
Their guilty pleasure is peeing.
Their
peeing
guilty
on the
pleasure
job.
Is piss, and I couldn't be more yawning for it. But Keith, this is an audience of one, and I'm asking you, have you ever wanted to freaking suck down a little glob?
Depending on the glob, go on.
Have you ever wanted a sweet and saucy evening contained in a size that is smaller than a bottle of Vaseline?
Glob, bottle of Vaseline. I got it. I'm in. I'm hearing it.
I don't. Maybe. Are you trying to sell me on just sucking a pack of sweet and sour sauce straight from the pack?
I heard the whole thing in the bathroom, and it was a little disturbing audio to go pee with.
Open your legs and step inside.
Getting worse. Getting worse.
Is the water's warm, Ned.
So let me just recap it in case anyone missed. It's a tiny glob, just guzzle down. It's a warm night together in a bottle smaller than a Vaseline jar, and you need to open your legs and get wet. Oh, now, what could that be?
Is this lube?
This is canned tomatoes!
What kind? Stewed, crushed, whole? Chopped?
Whole canned tomatoes makes the baby go, oh! I'm talking about tomatoes that are succulent and could be made into sauce, if you can believe that. Pasta is so yesterday. Yeah. Today's new diary entry reads, pasta with sauce.
Are you working at a homeless shelter?
You eat I'm all about
rice
this.
And you advertise canned goods right now.
Yeah, things aren't good at the Bonsignor estate. But canned tomatoes are succulent and good. And I've heard from a TikTok, I haven't really bought these yet, but I've heard that canned tomatoes are good because they are the tomatoes that taste good, but don't look good. And so usually they taste better than store-bought tomatoes because store-bought tomatoes can suck my ass.
They can fucking suck sometimes.
They can be bad, and they're mostly like little orb globes, unless you're going heirloom. But if you're fucking going to the grocery stores I'm going to, it's like $25 a head.
I will say, when you get a just for admission heirloom tomato, you're pissed because that thing was like $3.50 to $4 for a single tomato, and it's and we had a bad heirloom the other day, and it feels awful.
Miles, you're talking about making your own pasta sauce. You're talking my language.
Yeah, baby, it's Italian. Mm-hmm.
Don't let Chef Boyardee do it for you. Be your own Chef Boy. See?
Chef Boy. Oh, my God. The Chef Boyardee is the idea of putting that in my mouth makes me want to die. But it's not good. But tomato sauce is really easy. I'll also say, I think I've given this advice before, but if you're getting bottled tomato sauce, you can make it good really pretty easily. Saute garlic, a little bit of onion, put some fucking red chili pepper flakes in there. You're good to go. Butter it up also. All going to make it good.
Butter.
Yeah, you can make, I mean, the same with frozen pizzas. Chop your own veggies, put it on top. Yum, yum.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah. And yeah, what you got, Zach? You're looking confused.
Oh, I was chopping. I had a heartbreak a tomato-related heartbreak last night. There was this soup that I adore with all my heart. It's a puttanesca soup. little Putin-esque. It involves potatoes. We cooked it. I was looking forward to it so much. And I sit down to eat, and I'm starting to eat. And Maggie goes to the kitchen. She's cleaning up. And she looks at our potatoes, and she goes, huh, do these look a little green to you? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And we had already peeled the potatoes in the soup, so I can't tell if they're green. But once potatoes are green, like, people online say you should get rid of them, you shouldn't eat them. So we had this soup, and we didn't know, can we eat it? Can we not eat it? Is it dangerous? Has it gone bad? And so we opted to not eat it. And I had like two of the most delicious.
You gotta roll the dice, brother.
You can
What's the worst that's going to happen?
You're not going to die.
I rolled the dice, and she
There it is. There we go.
But I supplemented my meal. I felt bad about it. I mean, you talk about guilty pleasure. I was enjoying every bite, but I'm like, oh, this might give me diarrhea.
We've all been there. We've all been smelling the shrimp, and we think it smells good, but what does good shrimp smell like sometimes?
It's so hard to tell because they say that if it smells like fish, don't eat it.
Then again, it is fish. So
it's fish.
I was like, it smells like the ocean.
Yeah.
You guys are potato boys. I have leftovers of the soup because I really like only ate a little bit of it last night. And I packaged it up to see what would happen today. So far, feeling good. Do I have the green light for the green potatoes?
It depends on how green they were.
Yeah.
Like it looked like the potato had a slight jaundice.
Did it have tentacles?
No.
Then it's probably fine.
I think it's fine. Unless it was moldy.
Don't take
or
our advice, listeners. This is just
Don't
for me.
Don't take our advice. I mean, you know, comment below if you got some horror stories in the bathroom from green potatoes. But I don't know.
Tell us about your shits in the comments below.
Let us know.
I would read them.
The discourse online is that it is poisonous and that like you can get headaches and diarrhea and nausea. But
everything's
you need, like,
bad
4 pounds
for you
of
in
it.
A certain forum online. Like, whatever. You like don't eat. I don't know. It's like just there's so many things that people are like, yeah, this is not good for you, and you're like, okay, but also it's fine. It's fine.
If I won't die. And I don't think I'll vomit from it. I'll probably eat it. Because I'll probably be fine. Like, I won't die because I had a little bit of a potato that was, like, over-ripened
green
and started
potatoes
to become alive again.
Poison? And let's get some images.
And eating a food that may or may not give you diarrhea? Well, that's the greatest guilty pleasure of them all.
That is, hey, you know what? That is absolutely... When I'm talking about late night pizza ordering, I know what the morning is going to be like. You know, sometimes the pleasure right now is worth the punishment tomorrow.
Well, another perfect episode. Thanks for listening. And stick around for the trailer for Guilty Pleasures. We launch on Monday and we'll be coming out every Monday thereafter. Super fun, something I really care a lot about. So it would mean a lot if you went and gave it a listen. Keith, here's with the official tripod theme song.
We're having fun talking about stuff we shouldn't do. We're feeling good doing things that we oughtn't not do. We're doing stuff that we know get us get sick. We gonna eat lots of green potatoes, start to shit. Tripod.
Until next time, stay beautiful.
Hello and welcome to Guilty Pleasures, your new favorite comedy pop culture podcast. I'm Zach Kornfeld.
I'm Kelsey Dara.
I'm Garrick Bernard, and each week we're going to be talking about our favorite Guilty Pleasure movies and TV shows.
From cult classics, to those movies you're told you're not supposed to like, to things that are quote-unquote not actually good.
We're going to invite in our funniest friends to celebrate the under-celebrated and find all there is to love and loathe about everyone's favorite Guilty Pleasures.
Here's a clip from our first episode.
Can I just say... My first guilt is right out the beginning with the title card of the word Twilight. Did you guys notice the G in the word Twilight? Looks absolutely fucking batshit crazy. It looks G that's out of like a crazy fun house.
You want to get into the pleasures?
Okay, number one, Bella's dad is so fucking hot. I would ride that mustache. I would let him put his
fucking mustache
gun
man.
In my mouth.
That's where you start?
Well, yeah.
I've been trying to be a single dad for years, honestly, of one child. And Kelsey is proving that point.
Oh.
It's just like, I'm just literally just trying to keep the pieces together, blah, blah, blah. And you walk into the bar and you see me at the end taking a drink or whatever. And you look over and you're just like, is that a... Does he have a stroller there too? Is he like like moving a stroller?
He
is he trying
have
to coddle
stroller
his child?
In the bar.
I'm a regular there. The bartender lets me bring in my baby girl.
What's her name?
Don't.
Tabitha.
No.
I don't fucking know. I don't know the baby's name. It's a prop.
That's
it's a
the
prop.
First name that came to mind.
But to your point, Kelsey, there is a scene where they finally kiss. Like and like he says, don't move, right? Okay, you remember this scene? He's like,
yes.
He's like, don't move. And then she goes to kiss him. He's like, no, don't move. And my legs started quivering.
Not your legs, Zach.
My
no.
leg, it got me. I was like, motherfuckers, kiss. Give me the vampire kiss. Go.
Yes.
It got me. And I can't
they
believe
nailed
that it.
It
got me. Because I'm a full-grown, arguably a full-grown man. And I was lusting after this movie hard.
In the end, we'll decide if the movie is a pleasure,
a guilty pleasure,
or just plain guilty.
How many times can we say guilty in this promo? My God. Join us for new episodes every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.